The Skillful Art of Manipulation audiobook is honored to present a powerful new insight from our newly released story, You Stay Gaslighting Me, now streaming on your favorite podcasting platform. Let's dive in together. I don't remember when the truth stopped belonging to me. I just remember the moment I stopped chasing it. Not because I stopped caring, but because she made a version of it that was easier to live in. A softer truth. A manageable one. The kind that doesn't scream in the middle of the night. The kind that lets you sleep. At first, I thought I was the one in control. I was the narrator. The one shifting her memories to protect mine. Bending the corners of our reality until it folded into something I could live with. I told myself it was mercy. That I was keeping her safe from what I couldn't say. But then the edits started bleeding in both directions. And that's when I realized. She learned everything from me. The first time I noticed the mirror had moved, I told myself it was nothing. A trick of the light. A draft from the hallway. But then she smiled when I mentioned it. That knowing, quiet smile. The kind you only give someone when you've already decided how the story ends. She didn't say, "You're imagining things." She didn't have to. She just let me sit in the silence. And I filled in the lie all by myself. That's how it works. Not with force. Not with fire. But with stillness. Manipulation, real manipulation, happens in the moments you swear nothing's happening at all. She started changing little things. Photos on the wall. Songs we never listened to. Stories from our past, filled with details I didn't remember living. And when I confronted her, she blinked once softly and said, "You've been forgetting a lot lately." I started recording myself. Just to be sure. I needed to hear my own voice. See my own words. Find some record that I was still me. The recordings didn't help. They made it worse. One night, I played one back and heard her whispering to me in my sleep. "You're not the version I need yet, but you're close." I checked the timestamps. The file had been created before I ever hit record. I tried to leave. Twice. The first time, the door opened into a hallway I didn't recognize. The second time, the street outside was missing, as if someone had erased the world beyond the walls of our apartment. So I stayed. Not because I couldn't leave, but because I wasn't sure I'd know who I was if I did. She started giving me gifts. Little ones. A new toothbrush, even though I didn't remember asking for one. A coffee mug I'd supposedly broken years ago. A journal. Blank. Waiting. "Write it all down," she said. "So when you forget what's real, you can at least remember what you believed." But the journal wasn't blank for long. After a few days, entries appeared in handwriting that looked almost like mine, only neater, more precise. He asked me again about the photo. I told him he was remembering it wrong. He smiled. "That means it's working. Tomorrow, I'll move the lamp 2 inches. Let's see how long it takes him to notice." I confronted her. She didn't deny it. She didn't explain. She just said, "You always told me I was too forgetful." I stopped sleeping after that, because the dreams weren't dreams anymore. They were rehearsals, conversations I hadn't had yet, voices I recognized too well, and a version of her who always knew what I was about to say. One night, I found a locked drawer she had forgotten to lock. Inside, 6 folders, each one with my name, labeled version 1 through version 6. The one still open, the one with fingerprints and smudges, was mine, version 6. Inside were transcripts, notes, emotional logs, behavioral responses, like I'd been studied, observed, measured, rewritten. I turned to her, demanded the truth. Who was I? What was I? And she, calm as ever, said, "You're the version that finally gave up." That night, I watched footage of myself I don't remember filming. Me pacing in the dark, whispering to no one. "She knows. I think I'm the last one. I think this version might hold." Another clip. My voice again. She doesn't need to gaslight me anymore. I do it for her. By the time I found the mirror again, I wasn't afraid. I touched the glass. My reflection smiled. But I wasn't smiling. Not out here. Only in there. And then she said it. The sentence that ended the story. This version fits better. Now I wake up every day a little less sure of who I was before her. The apartment is clean. The sun is warm. She makes tea. I smile when she does. And when I pass the mirror, I don't correct it anymore. Because if I do, I might see a version of myself that remembers too much. Gaslighting doesn't erase you. It remakes you. Softly. Patiently. Until you forget what it felt like to be anything but the version that they designed. And the most terrifying part? You'll thank them for it. Because this version of you, the one that doesn't fight, doesn't doubt, doesn't break the story, it sleeps better, it smiles more, it fits. And deep down, if you're really honest, you never wanted the truth. You just wanted to be held by someone who could make it all make sense, even if they had to gaslight you into existence to do it.